Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Like 50% opacity, so you can just slightly see Sean Connery's wrinkles underneath his eyes.
Welcome to Luke's massive storytelling podcast thing. Whoa, yeah, here we go. Check it out now. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Luke's massive storytelling podcast thing. My name is Luke and this is my thing. So this past week we've been doing a 7-day story challenge. The challenge was to make a short film in 7 days. We did it. So we brought it out. It was quite painful to make. We were doing it on the sleeve of pants, skin of a teeth sort of thing. Or should I say the skin of my pants? I don't know. It was very hard. I was up late a lot, and I was up early a lot to try and get it all in. But yeah, we did it. It's out, and it's also, it was hard to do. It was like birthing a child that comes out, and you're like, you're really happy with it, but at the same time, you're well aware that it's quite painful to get it out. The film we made is called Keith. It's about 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes long, and it's all told through a computer screen. So there's like images of Skype and Facebook messaging and stuff going on. And it's sort of like almost like a doppelganger story, but it's sort of a play on tech support. So I don't know if you've ever had someone remotely log into your machine and you see the cursor moving around and they can click on your documents and they're trying to fix it and everything. It's quite invading. It's quite like invading your personal space. You're letting them into your life, and I thought that was a really weird sort of feeling. So it's sort of a play off on that. But what if it went further than just trying to fix your computer? What if they started to fix your life as well? I'm actually really, really proud of it. So I put it on, Reddit, and I put the question out there. I said, look, this was made with no money, no camera. Nothing. What do you think to the film? And do you think it would work as a feature? Because I thought feature films cost a lot of money. That like the minimum is about 10 grand that you need to make a feature film. But this short film cost me nothing, so I could make the cheapest feature film ever. So I put this question out to the guys on there, and he got some pretty interesting responses. Some positive responses. Some meh responses and some negative, but I mean, let me read you some. I've got one here from Rolling Pictures Media. It says, "I don't think I could sit for a feature length, but as a short, it's not terrible," which is exactly what I was aiming for. I was aiming for a film that wasn't terrible. CMATUTE, so CMATUTE. This is so damn good. Excellent storytelling, motherfucker. But he's put a comma between storytelling and motherfucker. So it says, this is so damn good. Excellent storytelling, motherfucker. You know what I mean? It's a sort of pang of insult in there as well. Gavin Talks a Stranger. He said, when there's a story, there's a way, regardless of budget. Great job, Luke. Good use of sound design and effects to up the production value. It's true. When you've got a story and you've got no money, you'll find a way to make it happen. Not from here. 23 says, this could have been on one of those shows, Darknet or Black Mirror. Yes, it could. I thought it was great, but I want closure. Who or what is Keith? Well, then I don't want to go into detail. Let's find out if I ever do make a feature length with it. Random Stranger 79 says, I don't think it has the legs to be a feature, but made for a fun short. Nailgun, yeah, said, sure, it could be a feature film. Needs a better narrator, though. Yeah, sorry about that. That's my zero-budget vocal cords for you. My favorite comment was Pate 604, and he says, quick, someone give this man money and a camera. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Give me some money, give me a camera. I'll go make some stuff. It's interesting because when you put a lot of effort into making something and then you put it out there for people to look at and read or whatever, you also give them the opportunity to judge you and judge what you've been doing and judge your opinion. And it's quite scary, you know, because you're putting yourself up for potential humiliation. But at the same time, I don't know, I find it quite interesting, quite invigorating. I wanted to catch up with Dom, my friend Dom, who made, with his partner, they made Miso Cat, which is the second 7-day story challenge. I wanted to catch up with him and ask how he felt the overall response was to their challenge and, you know, what it means for their future projects.
It's been good. Like, overwhelming amount of downloads, really. Way more than we expected.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, which is really, really good. I think we've been looking into getting it printed up and thinking maybe even getting it done when Fonny's back home, because it'll be a bit more reasonably priced, like printing a large number of them.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, we got one printed up because I wanted to give it to my mum for her birthday. And it was actually quite expensive just to get one printed up, you know, because obviously the more you do, the better the price would be. But
yeah,
even so, I don't think it'd be really realistic. We also looked at, there's a print place in London called Flying Eye Books, like a publisher's.
Okay.
I thought
that was your mouth. Like,
no,
that's crazy.
My stomach made a loud noise. It's like just children's books, but they're really, really nice print and hardcover books. So we were looking at that, but, you know, I think.
What was the. Let me just have a look, because there's a company that does print on demand stuff. It's like Lightning or something like that. I'll have to have a look into it. It's called like Thunder or something. But the cool thing about those guys is it puts you on the marketplace for, I think it might be Lightning Tree. Lightning Source. No. Yeah, Lightning Source. It puts you on the market for bookstores. So like Waterstones and, you know, those sort of people. W. Smith's, if you do want to get into bookstores. I don't know if that's something you wanted to do or not. But I don't know, it might be worth looking into.
Yeah, definitely. Lightning Source, did you say?
Yeah, Lightning Source, yeah. And they do like hardbacks and paperbacks, everything. And you get to choose like the finish, so like a matte finish or a gloss and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
How would you do it?
We used the matte paper on this one that we got printed up, and it just looks so nice. The images look great with the little bit of texture to them.
Oh, let's see it. I guess,
yeah.
Could you steal it from your mum?
I'm sure we'll get more printed up anyway at some point. So.
She can keep hers then, that's fine.
Yeah. Won't wrestle it from her hand.
Yeah. How did it feel to like have something that you made be seen by that many people?
It felt nerve-wracking when the first couple of downloads came down, because all you were thinking about is, oh no, maybe there's something we've missed, or like maybe it's just, you know, when you've been working on something for 7 days, you kind of get a little bit tunnel vision on it, and you might find out that actually people, I don't know,
actually,
there is that fear.
Actually you said something really stupid, or like, I know what you mean. Like,
yeah,
you have no idea how it's going to be perceived, and the longer you work on something, I guess the more separated you are from what it actually is.
Yeah, and you. When you see, you know, a part of your work day after day, you just, it become, you know, you get so used to it that you would have to have someone say, look, this isn't working or whatever before you realized it. Whereas normally you'd be like, of course, it's so obvious that that could be better this way or whatever.
Yeah, you sort of need to come to it with fresh eyes. I think that's one of the good things, like if you're not doing a 7-day challenge, you can finish it essentially and then come back to it a month later and have a look. But then the problem is, if you do that, I've done that in the past and then I've just not published, or I've just like not finished the book or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I would have the restraint to ever, like, I'd maybe just keep tweaking it, and by the time that I'd done a tweak, it wouldn't be the same thing. Like, in some ways, that really arbitrary cutoff is a good thing, you know. They say you can overpaint a painting or whatever, and you should just stop at some point.
Yeah, you can overcook a steak.
Overcook a painting.
You can overcook a painting, for sure. You can overpaint a steak as well. Halfway through this week, when I was just doing this last challenge, when I looked at all the work I had ahead of me, I was seriously thinking of, like, saying, I can't do it. Like, I'm going to have to get an extension or something. But then having that deadline, I just sort of pushed through and just did it anyway. But
how did it feel coming to a new challenge after having your break for, you know, a week?
I thought it was going to be a lot easier, because I think the fact that I'd done it once with a book, I thought, okay, I know what I'm doing now. Like, this isn't my first rodeo. I'm going to come to this. I'm going to nail it. And I took, like, the 2 full days I have to do anything with the weekend, and I didn't do that much on the weekends. I sort of lazed about a bit. And then when it came to, like, when I realized I've only got evenings now and I've started to actually get down to the nitty-gritty stuff, I realized how much work I had to do. And, like, I don't know, the past week has been so hectic, like, unbelievably hectic. How did you feel after you published? Like, you know, for me, like, this morning, like, it was like a breath of fresh air. Like, it was really crazy. How did it feel for you?
I think the day afterwards, because even once we'd finished the book, we still had a few things, like, you know, the little bit of promoting that we did and just making sure that the page, the Gumtree page, was Gumtree? No, I mean
Gumroad.
Gumroad.
Yeah.
Was all set up. But the day afterwards, we felt a bit lost, I think, both of us, because we'd been each day kind of going through the routine of getting up, setting up the stream, doing like a little overview of the day and getting to work. And then after that, we kind of were just like, oh, what do we do now? But it did feel nice to know that it was finished.
Yeah. Did it feel like... do you miss doing the challenge now? Do you know? So how long has it been?
A little bit.
A couple of weeks now. So
yeah, it's 2 weeks. A week and a bit.
Because your life becomes quite binary. Like it's either one, like, I need to do this to do that, or zero, like, this isn't helping me do this. I don't know.
We've been really busy since we finished it. So actually, I think if we'd had time to stop, maybe we would really have missed it. But actually, it fit snugly in what we were doing. We just had that 1 week that was very free, and it was good that we did it then.
But I
think we both realized a couple of days after that we wanted to do it again at some point.
Oh, cool. Would you do it on the podcast? Or
yeah definitely. I mean, we want to do stuff outside, and actually I think we both said that having quite a rigid structure would be helpful in whatever we do if we're working you know, outside of the 7-day challenge.
Would it be a sequel to the Miso Cat?
I think we'd like to do more with Miso Cat. Maybe actually expand upon the book that we made this time. But if we were to do something on the podcast again, maybe it would be something completely different.
It's cool. It always feels quite fresh to start something like brand new. It's like I had a few ideas of what I was going to do before I started this challenge, but then it was like at the very last minute, I just sort of threw myself into this one. But it seems to come together. I don't know. There's that quote, isn't it? Like, the work will get done in the time available. Like, you will just figure it out. Like, as long as you have that, you know that your time is limited, you will get it done. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
There's a real like need to focus all of your energy. I think because you know where the end will be. If there's no set end, you can't ever invest all of your energy into something because you've got to last for, you know, a variable amount of time. But if you've got 7 days, you could be like, okay, I can work at my optimum for 7 days and I'll be done and I can stop after that. But if you're not sure if it's going to take 2 weeks or whatever, then you kind of just, you either laze around or, you know, yeah, don't put your full into it.
Yeah, like they say like pain is temporary. When you're on a film set, they always say pain is temporary, but something like whatever you catch on film is forever or something like that. So you can sort of rest afterwards. I felt quite delirious this afternoon. Like, I think I've not been sleeping well this past week because I'm getting up super early and going to bed super late. And I felt quite delirious afterwards. I think, I don't know, it was weird that, like, I didn't realise how focused I'd been on that one goal this past week until I'd stopped. Like, when I did the first book, like, the first challenge, I felt like I'd been putting my social life and I'd been talking to Kat as much as I should have been. But then this time it was even more focused, and I felt like I'd not even put my health I've not been like eating properly, or I've just been drinking coffee all night and stuff, and not drinking water. And it's like, maybe that's not a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, did you feel like your state of mind was kind of went into the work? Did it affect the finished piece?
I think because it was a film as well. Like, it's quite all-encompassing in terms of your senses. I mean, apart from smell and taste, I guess.
Well, but it depends.
But, I was just watching, like, you know, the same clips over and over again, listening to the same clips, and it became quite like hypnotizing, I guess. Mm. And I just didn't know what I was doing, which is probably why the film came out the way it did, like, quite subliminal, quite...
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not good if your health is affected, but I think the outcome is incredible. I think I said to you when you first said I might make a film with like a screen recording, I instantly thought of like loads and loads of things that you could do with that, and like that idea was great, but none of those things were Keith. Like,
that's cool. That means there could be a different film.
That was great. That's what I would want from what you described. It wasn't what I expected.
Yeah. It was weird because it was so fast, just trying to get it out, like, in such a short space of time, I felt like I wasn't really self-editing the story, and I was always thinking, constantly in the back of my mind, this might not make sense.
Yeah.
You might get to the end, as we were saying before, and I just realized I just spent a week making something like crap, like just complete crap. But at the same time, not having that self-editing part of the process means that what came out is like completely me, completely my sense of humor. Like, I don't know.
Does it sort of become like autonomous storytelling at some point where it's just kind of like flowing out?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it was like, it's like a snowball, like, it just sort of kicked some snow at the top of a hill and then tripped up and fell with the snowball.
Yeah.
All the way
it's
down.
It's building up around you.
Yeah.
And you're only drinking coffee.
But weirdly, this is the best received something I've done has been. And I think it's because it didn't have that editing and it was purely, I don't know, it was like my subconscious was doing the work. And my honestly, the amount of clicking, like... And I was using a trackpad. I didn't have a mouse. I should get a trackpad next time. Because it's got to be better than, like, my fingers were sore from like rubbing the trackpad.
When we were streaming during our 7 day challenge, a guy came on the stream and he commented saying, "Photoshopping with a trackpad," and I said, "Yeah, it's all right. I don't mind actually. I use a trackpad at home." And he was just like, "Seems like it'd probably be difficult," and then just left.
So, the internet's weird. Like, people don't feel the need to even make sense, or I don't know. Like,
do you feel like that maybe Keith is the most internet appropriate thing that you've made, and maybe that's why it is received
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think, like, I was talking to my friend Skip, Matt Butcher, who's like a writer who lives in Sheffield. He doesn't have the internet. And, like, to me, that, like, I was asking, like, what he did, like, in his day-to-day life. And he was talking about, like, well, I don't know, I go to work, I read some comic books, like, physical comic books and stuff. And, like, I was like, but what do you do for TV? We just try and watch Channel 4 and stuff. And to me, this is completely insane. Like, I go to work, like, eight hours is pure computer stuff. And then I come home, my entertainment is on the computer, Reddit and Netflix. Like, I make stuff on the computer, like, on the internet. And I don't know, that's, I think I am Keith. Like, I am just a being, like, on the internet. And my physical body is just like a, one day I'll leave this physical body and just be like this internet presence.
I actually had something I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
I've forgotten what it was. Sorry. I was thinking earlier when I was trying to log into the thing, something came to mind. I don't know. Keep going. Fill for me.
That's okay. I can cut. I can edit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wanted to ask where the... do you know the pixelated face just before the credits? Is that David Cameron's face?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I recognise the forehead.
So, that's the end of this episode. So, what's next? Well, I have some pretty amazing stuff lined up for the podcast. I don't want to ruin the surprise just yet, but expect a few new episodes dropping this week. And also, I had someone reach out who wants to take part in the 7-day story challenge, so we'll be following him on his challenge, which will also start later this week. But for now, go to lukecondor.com. There's a little section there now just for the 7-day stories, so you can find all the older ones and the new ones and everything. Also check out Keith. I really want you to go watch it, and I really want to know what you think. Okay, all right, I'll speak to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.